So we had some girls perform at the BT Hip Hop Awards the other day.
Some.
First off, shout out to Kid Ken being the first openly gay male rapper to be included in the Cypher.
Legendary.
Legendary. Double ends, bitch. Stop playing. Stop playing. He's adorable. Very young. He's only like 19 or
He's a
some shit.
teenager,
Like he's like young as shit. And it was just like femboy energy. It was no like trade. He was giving you like effeminate. He was giving you
Mama
like y'all.
walked up in a full face. I was
Yes.
living, okay?
Like y'all hella mad. I'm hella gay. I'm like, yes, you is, baby. Yes, you are. Come on. What made me annoyed was that Miss Bia, like she got a whole set, didn't she?
Yeah, she performed her. Yeah. Well, I keep on saying performed, and I'm being generous. She was on the
She
stage doing something.
completed her contractual
That's
duties.
it. There you go. Whatever she signed up to
Mama
do
was
is what she
on.
did.
Mama was on a couch in, the voice that she usually does. I always say Bia raps like she's doing her taxes over the phone.
Beer to me raps like Big Sean. No excitement.
Don't do Big Sean like
Listen,
that.
girls, y'all can be attracted to him all you want, but let's tell the truth today. Sir raps like he is yawning, okay? And Bia raps the same way, like she's doing exactly what she doesn't want to do. It's just a bodily function. She's just
I'm
doing
sorry.
it because she has to.
Have you heard Paradise by Big Sean?
Yes, I have.
Are
My
you kidding
statement
me?
remains. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will always hear a slight hint of boredom in Big Sean's voice. But again, this is not about Big Sean. This is about Bia. We're talking about
Yeah,
Bia.
my point. I'm
Okay.
getting to my point.
Okay.
And then another rap girl performed that night. Miss I Am Dochi, Miss Dochi came through. Did perform her verse on Isaiah Rashad's "What You Said," and came through. And this is what you call a performance. Mama
And
was
yeah, she
killing it.
did. She did. She performed her feature off of someone else's song and did better. I don't know, girl. I don't know. I don't know what to say about these new girls. There are certain new girls who are just getting it, and there are other girls who seem to be bigger, who are just like, girl, I'm here to be light skinned, and that's it.
You know the phrase twice as good? Well, that's gotta be
Whew.
it's thrice as good for dark skinned girls in
To
hip
be
hop.
honest, to be honest.
Dochi killed it in one verse. I'm so
One.
mad.
A
Like
guest verse,
the
by the
song,
way.
like mainly the song, one of the songs that got that the song that's been buzzing for her, that's been getting her looks lately, is like one of her newer ones, Yucky Blucky Fruitcake. And in it, like she raps about being a black girl who beat the statistics, and she borrows like the Nicki growl, and they're just like, this just feels like someone who grew up studying the other rap girls, and then coming up and like making her own sound, her own brand, and truly like out here doing it, visibly black. Meanwhile, like I don't even know where Bia's from. She's Puerto Rican. I don't know if that's black Puerto Rican. But she out here saying nigga, and all the black dudes who want to fuck her are like, all right, yeah, she cool.
Yeah,
It's annoying.
I was just embarrassed, and I hope I never see something like that again. Truly, it will be too early if I ever see something like that again. It was terrible. I hate to say it. It was awful. It was awful.
When I step up to the club, horse are mad. And I
I was
call
like,
it
is
to
she
the
about to
girls
yawn?
like,
She's about to
when
yawn. She's about to yawn. Got it.
I'm in my persona.
I was like, Ma,
I
pick your tongue up. I got my
don't
body done up. You pick your tongue up,
know.
girl. Pick your
I
tongue up.
invested in my body, bitch. I'm dead out.
She was giving me Ariana Grande levels of non-enunciation, and I was like, girl, if I didn't have genius up right now, I wouldn't know what you're saying.
I'll never ever sleep on a broken naked.
Lord save us.
Bea, go to the principal's office.
Please.
No snoring in my class. What were you saying about that little boy, the little R&B boy, who's always, you know, singing about police brutality? What they do to him?
Oh, they're trying to make him. They're trying to rebrand him as something other than an Anthony Hamilton singer, by giving him more upbeat, you know, instrumentals and shit. And he still sounds like he is being held up.
Did you say Anthony Hamilton?
Anthony Hamilton. No,
don't listen, do that to.
Let's be clear. Once again, I want the girls to be clear. Guess and I want them to be bad. Honest about our favorite singers. Anthony Hamilton is a segregation singer. Like let's be clear. Anthony Hamilton has that voice, okay? And it ain't nothing gonna change.
Try to be good. Wanted nothing but to love somebody.
He didn't want to die young. Great stomping voice. He has a peach cobbler Alabama fried catfish voice, and nothing's gonna change that.
Texas
and
the thing Pete about it is that Collin they got his voice.
Yeah, all that, and they trying to change little man to this, but they still got him singing.
The little boy said, like he said, "Hey, pretty lady." I'm like, "How old are you?"
Yeah, let's stop this, sir.
Pretty lady.
Are your parents, the Christians, allowing this? See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. This is weird.
Like, can we get a hey ma? what did hey ma do to y'all?
Let's ride. And we're gonna get in on a night. Yeah. So I just want, I don't, if you start off that little boy was how old when he started it? He was a prepubescent, and now
he's like what, 15, 16?
Something like that, and they're trying to change him into like, oh yeah. Suave. The only thing he looks like right now is like the black Kids Bop kid.
He looked like
you know that one black kid they have on the Kids Bop shit? That's what he's seeming like.
He looked like if the black kid from Stranger Things like pivoted to R&B.
I will agree with that completely. That's what
I just wanna smash. Dear Lord, Durex, protect me.
His parents really realized that they fucked him over and was like, yo, we gotta act like that shit didn't exist, and we gotta start having this nigga jump around and
America, you betrayed us. It was you.
I don't blame him, but wow.
Alright, welcome to Big Boy Brunch, where topics get tasted. It's like, if you niggers don't get on with the fucking show. My name is Lolo Von Z.
Please stop.
A.K.A. the Liberian Aquarian. That's so water. A.K.A. the Joe Loaf Connoisseur. A.K.A. the patron saint of Crunchyroll passwords. A.K.A. the jack of all trades who jacks off all trade. Porka. A.K.A. so Boom Kakarot. Because when a lose, there's always another Dragon Ball. A.K.A. Lolo Rambo Pneumonica. A.K.A. Black Dynamite. Don't you interrupt my kung fu. A.K.A. MODOK. Hey, big head. A.K.A. Watcher. Hey, big head. A.K.A. Shang-Chi in the Ten Rings. A.K.A. Yo, first choice. I said, yo, first choice. I said, not yo third. Not yo second. I said, yo, first. For reverse voice, can I get amen? Not amen, can I get amen? And now it is time to introduce my brother in Christ, the hostess with the mostest, my work husband, till copyright infringement do us part, brother Minister Andre What up, Dre in the box? Dre in the box. How you doing?
So,
my brother, my neighbor.
So for anybody who's still listening, I am.
The Lord is listening. The Lord is always listening.
I think he's abandoned too, to be honest. But yes, I am feeling all right. I'm here. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the show anymore, but I'm happy to be here. Anyway. before I am charged with blasphemy in the book of life, I'm going to go ahead and just pass it back on to you and just say I'm happy to be here.
I love your Goku shirt.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite shirts that I've gotten. I love it. I love it. I wear it so much because I love it.
I just found out that the evil Goku, Black Goku, like his Super Saiyan version is like Super Saiyan Rosé. So your girl might just have to check it out. I was like, who is this pink haired dude? It was like, it's like, oh, it's Super Saiyan Rosé. I'm like, ooh. The black and pink is like giving. So yeah. I may have to just, I'm not going to watch the whole thing. Because, you know, DBZ hasn't changed much from, like, it's a bunch of niggas just throwing pick punches and kicks and throwing beams at each other. But, okay. Which is honestly what made it so great in the first place. I'm not gonna front and say that Broly movie that they just dropped wasn't fire. It was. Like, it was.
Hello.
Yeah. But, yeah. Moving on. We got a dope brunch for y'all today. So, it's been a while since I made this, but I made a homemade McGriddle. So it's two over easy eggs served up with some delicious, delicious pork sausage. You beat out to, assume the position of a burger patty. And loads and loads of pepper jack cheese, and all of that is sandwiched in between two hot cakes smothered in maple syrup. Slice that hoe open and just throw some house fries on the inside. On the side. And wash it down with some water, because I've had a lot of I've had a lot of stuff this weekend. I can't go. Y'all gonna get me. Like, if this nigga don't drink on, my liver said enough this weekend. Moving on to a heaping helping of blurred news, and we got a lot today. In a segment I like to call Nerdy Nuggets, I Know Who You Bred Last Summer.
No notes. That was
and
a good one.
Wasn't
no, you've
me.
Been wilding for the past
and
couple
it
weeks.
It wasn't me.
You've been wilding for the past couple weeks, but my nigga, clap, clap, bravo. I love this one.
And it wasn't me. So we're going to have to talk.
Not this time.
Giant fucking trained spider demon from hell! Choo Choo Charles is an upcoming open world horror game where you have to explore an island via your little yellow train. As you search around the island, meeting locals and finding parts to upgrade your train, you'll need to keep an eye out for Charles, a giant spider train monster that is hungry and wants to eat your flesh. And probably your train. It's an odd concept for a video game, but I was instantly hooked by the trailer that the devs posted on Twitter yesterday. Seems we're not alone, girl. Over the weekend, the trailer for Choo Choo Charlie went viral, with thousands of people sharing it and commenting about how strange but cool it looked. In Choo Choo Charles, you're given the task of eradicating a monster known by the locals as Charles. Nobody knows where he came from, but they know why. To eat the flesh of puny humans. You have a small yellow train with a map, mounted machine gun, and an exquisite collection of bobbleheads on the dashboard. You'll use this train to get from place to place while you complete missions for the townspeople or loot scraps from around the island. Over time, you'll use your scraps to upgrade your train's speed, armor, and damage. You'll grow your arsenal and, hopefully, become an unstoppable force ready to take on the great and mighty Charles. It should be pointed out that the name of the train and its evil vibes reminds me a lot of a children's book, Charlie the Choo-Choo Train, written by famous author Stephen King. I'm told by some folks at Kotaku that this book is very important to the overall lore of the Dark Tower, or something. But Choo-Choo Charles, the scary train game, and not the similarly named King book, is out sometime next year. You can currently wishlist the game on Steam, and that's from Kotaku. So,
this shit looks so twisted and dark and weird. I'm in 100%. It looks so cool. You know, I have something to say about that type of shit. Like, it's like, here's the thing. Like, when it comes to video games, when it comes to movies, when it comes to a lot of media, to me, that's why niggas have been talking about Malignant, the movie Malignant. Because, like, when there's been such a shortage of, like, just original weird shit, when something like Charles the Choo-Choo Train or, like, a movie like Malignant comes out, niggas are like, yo, I would like to see this. I would like to experience this because, like, so much shit that's being put out, it's like, it's a remake of this, it's a reimagining of that, it's like this, you know, thought of again. It's like, yo, some original weird-ass kooky shit, like, give me that. Niggas are starving for it. I know I am. So, like, to see shit like that, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. It's just like a funny-ass trailer.
It's like if Thomas the Tank Engine Googled how to become Spider-Man, and it went horribly wrong.
All the right ways. Yeah. Like, if when he did the experiment to make himself into Spider-Man, he lost his mind.
Like the spider that he got must have been on fentanyl or some shit. Because.
Right. On spice, you know, some wild shit. Yeah. Bath salts. But, like, this trailer. It's so creepy. Guess it. That's it. It's so creepy. It's so funny. God, I can't wait. It's just so cool. It looks so cool.
Spider legs and a demon mouth. Like,
bruh, what the fuck?
All I know is keep your eyes peeled because this is getting a movie in the next 5 years.
I can see it. I can absolutely see it. That would be a stoner's dream. Did Five
Nights at Freddy's ever get a movie release? Because they kept saying that they were going to make a movie, but I don't think I've seen anything yet.
No, I haven't. So I have no idea.
There have been, it's not like they don't have like I guess the formula or whatever. Because Nicolas Cage was just in a movie that basically was Five Nights at Freddy's. He like his car broke down, and he had to take care of this like you know off brand Chuck E. Cheese place. But like all of the motherfuckers came to life and started killing people. So this is basically Five Nights at Freddy's. Anyway, but yeah, more spooky shit. More of the spooky shit. Moving right along. Get whelmed, my niggas. Young Justice fans have waited long enough. The fourth season of the animated series is now set to premiere soon. Known as Young Justice Phantoms, the new season will continue exploring the lives of not old heroes, including Superboy, Zatanna, Nightwing, and Aqua. See, Calder-Am has been the leader of this goddamn team since season one, and he can't get a shout out. He can't get it like. Like, why is he not among the three names that you would mention? Zatanna ain't even show up to, like, what? The end of season one. Like, what are we doing? Or, like, halfway through season one. Calder-Am is Aquaman now. Like, y'all really need to put respect on the black characters' names. Like, y'all really need to do that. And I love and everybody says, like, oh, you're a great leader, you're a great leader, you're a great leader. But when it comes to the promo, like, and the way they shot, the way they place everybody, like, Aqualad, like, or excuse me, Calder, he's always put to the side or up to the left. And y'all know, like, it's making it very, like, off-center. But whenever there's a white leader of the team, they're front and center. That shit bothers me. But anyway, they are focusing on the core cast more when it makes its HBO Max debut, which is nice, which I'm excited because although I love all of the other characters, like the Outsiders were dope as fuck, but you know, I missed that the core team, like the original team that we started with, and they've all gone on like personal journeys and they're all coming back to, you know, reconnect, and I appreciate that. So Brandon Vietti and Greg Weissman were kind enough to answer Rafael Montemayor's questions about what fans might anticipate about the new season, including how the team dynamics might change after season 3, what might be in store for Halo and Violet, and why secrets will always be an important part of storytelling. So last season significantly expanded on the cast, even showing the next generation or two. How will the next season handle such a large ensemble? And Greg said, "We expand the cast with every season, always introducing new young heroes. It's not called Young Justice for nothing, but as always, we don't attempt to give every character full coverage in every season. The needs of story and the growth of our original core cast of heroes, now going by not Nightwing, Aquaman, thank you, Superboy, Miss Martian, Tigress, Zatanna, and Rocket, dictate which other characters, new and old, we'll focus on." Brandon Vietti: "From the beginning, we set out to use the entire DC universe as a backdrop and a catalyst of evolution for our core characters. Each new character introduced has a unique story that helps us further explore the reaches of the DC universe and the depths of all characters involved. Using the literal passage of time to introduce new generations of young characters gives our series a unique method of showing real growth, and that's something we continue to have fun within season 4. We also saw the Suicide Squad in the previous season. Can we expect them to return?" Weissman said, "Well, here's the plan." Wait a minute, you can't trick us that easily. No spoiler. So, though, girl, if a team gets name dropped, just assume that they're showing up soon. "Now that the teams have come clean to one another, will there be more covert teams in the next season? How will the spotlight change the team dynamics?" Weissman said, "This season focuses more on individual character dynamics than on league/team/outsiders politics. But we will see a bit of each of these squads, among others, and covert action is always an important part of the Young Justice dynamic." Vietti says, "Coming clean doesn't always mean staying clean. We always find reasons for characters to engage in more secrets and lies that complicate both hero life and private life. And it's through complications and covert actions that we learn the most about our characters and their evolving dynamics with each other." And said, "Last season ended on a huge cliffhanger with the Legion of Superheroes reveal. How much can we expect to see of the iconic team?" "We wouldn't call last..." And excuse me, this is from Vietti. All right, so Vietti said, "We wouldn't call last season's ending a cliffhanger. I think that word's meaning has been stretched to include any intriguing thing not thoroughly revealed before a season ends. But obviously, we wouldn't drop in the Legion ring without a plan to follow up on it." And Weissman said in follow-up, "We do. Beyond that, no spoilers. There's some more about Halo and Fourth World. And the trailer will be dropped most likely on Saturday, October 16th with DC Fandom. And we will be giving y'all I'm really excited for DC Fandom, but I'm also tired from DC Fandom because like they're gonna give us like 80 million trailers that we're gonna have to go over that following Sunday. But girl, I can't. But we will for y'all because we love you. So, what did you think about the poster for Young Justice Phantoms?
I think that it's very okay. So one thing I just want to get out the way, it's just I keep on seeing like they keep making Miss Martian progressively lighter.
Yes,
that's what my boyfriend pointed out, and I'm just over here like this is weird. Like I don't know why they keep. I'm like, what is the reason? And then also, like, when they make her lighter, they make her ashy. And it's just like, why is she fucking ashy like this? I mean, the hair is laid, girl, but otherwise, like, your casket ready. But otherwise, the poster as a whole, it's nice. I like the fact that, you know, Kaldor is, like, right in the front. He's like, yeah, girl, like... I'm here.
Maybe so. And while I do agree, it's wild. But I do think it's important to note that on the, like on their version of Mars, they have white Martians and they have green Martians, and in their world, green Martians are the ruling class, and white Martians are considered like the lower class, working class, and white Martians are constantly oppressed by the green Martians. And so
she's wearing whiteface? What is going on?
Well, let me land the bio ship. Ha ha. So when we first see Miss Martian, she is a humanoid, green-skinned girl, like just like her uncle, like Green Martian stuff, Green Martian things. And when she reveals to the team that she's really a white Martian, she's this big, you know, giant white Martian. That's like her true form. They're freaked out, but they also like, oh, we accept you. So like, I understand how it looks like, you know, especially to like black people. And I know, and it's weird, it gets very tricky because Martian Manhunter has been used to talk about race in the Justice League, but I think mm-hmm. she was using the green skin as a mask, you know, because people of green status on their planet have like a higher status. And so, and I don't know where this is going, but possibly now that she's coming back to, you know, slowly, like coming into like who she is as a alien or being. I think possibly the reason that she's keeping her skin lighter is to stay truer to her white Martian heritage.
So she's naturally a white. She's naturally a white.
She's naturally a white Martian, but she's been dressing up as like a green Martian.
Girl.
So on their planet, colorism is flipped.
I'm sorry. I got it.
Miss Martian on some big lotto shit.
Well, that's good to know.
But yeah, it's a very particular context. But I understand your concern.
Yeah. It was concern, yeah, but it was also a lot of it was just like, girl, what is like, first you're green and then you take the form of a white woman and now you're gray.
So the reason she took the form of the white woman, and yes, this does have something to do with whiteness and like accessibility to media. When she was growing up, like the only video or the only show that she had access to when she was a young alien was that show, Hello Megan, where the main protagonist is a white girl with like perfect pretty white girl and all that stuff, and you know, she wants to fit in. To be an earthling, so you know she's gonna pretend to be the white woman, and you know, and like on Earth, white women are the most ubiquitous, you know, like in media and all that stuff. So yeah, girl, quite literally, the layers that we could talk about with Miss Martian, Miss Mama Martian, she got Mama is color struck, okay.
Oh God.
But another thing another plot point that I'm interested, I really hope that they get into is, so the show is called, so this season is called Phantoms, right? So Phantoms meaning ghosts, meaning there are like ghosts of the past coming back to haunt people. So part of me feels like they're going to bring Wally West back. Remember he died, because he died in season two, right?
You mean like, do you think they're going to bring him back as an alive person or just
I think they're going to bring, I think what... Here, one of my predictions is they might bring him back because when he quote unquote died, he just kind of disappeared into the Speed Force. There was no body. Uh-huh. And in the Flash, like in the TV show, like we've seen speedsters just kind of get lost in the Speed Force and then like rematerialize and shit. So it is very possible, mm-hmm. like some wild like like future technology, you know, because like the Legion of Superheroes, like they're from the future or whatever happens, some wild shit's gonna happen where Wally could come back, because okay. like they've brought quote unquote people, they've brought people back, like not, well, Red Arrow, but he wasn't really dead, but mm-hmm. but they did, they hinted at in season three, they hinted at what's his face, Red Hood, like their version of Red Hood. I don't know if you see, like they when they ran up in Ra's al Ghul's crib, like there was like a bandaged person, like says like Robin or Nightwing or whatever, or like, you know, Dick or whatever, and like, oh shit, that's Jason Todd, like, so they've already like they already took his beaten body and like revitalized him, and yeah, mm-hmm. so I have a feeling he's gonna come back. I have a feeling Wally might come back. It's very possible, because the way they kind of close that book is like Artemis was really, really like dealing with some shit. Like she was still mourning the loss of Wally, and in order for like her, in order for her to get closure, or Zatanna and some of the girls, like they like Zatanna agreed to cast this spell to like quote unquote send Artemis to Purgatory to see Wally, and it was a very touching moment. But at the end, we find out that Zatanna actually, like, it was just an illusion. She literally just had a whole illusion and basically just like kind of forced her to have closure. So if Wally comes back, that means she's gonna have to explain that whole lie. And you know, like, and Young mm-hmm. Justice is good at like revealing lies. Like, bitch, you lied. Bitch, you kept this from me. That's basically Young Justice. Like, young, like the girls are nothing but if not messy, and I it's why I live for it. So, and part of me wants I do want to see more of Aquaman and his man. He's got another one in the comics who's a little thicker. Part of me just wants him to have a poly relationship between the three of them, cuz you know, I'm being greedy right now. Like, bitch the fact that we are getting content from like two gay ass superheroes this year, just queer ass superheroes this year. Like, oh, we're eating, we're being fed, quite literally. But other than that, I'm glad Rocket is back. Like, they're bringing Rocket back, because she took a step back. She had a kid. She like, you know, she had her baby, and now she's coming back. You know, coming back to the team, which is it's. Part of the reason that I blow up on TikTok is like a scene from Young Justice. It's between like Raquel and Karen, so it's a lot. So, but yeah, I'm really so it's the fact is like, oh, Raquel is like, oh, you know, yeah, I had a baby and now I'm back to save the world. Like, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm glad, you know, we get to see a character from Milestone Comics like fuck shit up. I love it. Yeah. Like, I could literally talk about Young Justice all the time. Like, all the time. I could talk about it all the time. Anyway, moving right along. Independent black superhero trailers dropped recently. One for Kwezi, the South African superhero. You can watch Kwezi. You can watch it on YouTube. I really love the design. I actually met the creator. He was in in DC like a couple years ago for BlurredCon, and I bought a copy of Kwezi for me from him. I lost it because I have ADHD, and that's usually what I do. But I still I paid for the comic, so that's what counts. That's what counts. support black artists. But yeah, I it really looks like it's giving like real comic-y, like the shit you used to watch when you were a kid. And the stuff you used to read, it's like, you know, it's like this young South African kid who like realizes he can fly and like leap tall buildings and doing all this stuff, and like him and his crew of superheroes look decked out like the very traditional like African garb, like South African garb, and it's just like, oh shit, this is dope, this is really dope. It's giving like, imagine if, like, the style of the Dora Milaje did the whole team, did the whole squad. So, what did you think? You brought up a very, very interesting point.
If you watch the trailer, it's like each character gets progressively darker. the first character, which is I think the main character,
that's Kwezi.
He's definitely a product of apartheid.
Goodbye. I cannot with you. And don't even do that. You know how many people I know, like two dark skinned parents and produce a light skinned child, and vice versa. Don't do that.
It can happen.
We have the most like diverse gene pool on planet Earth. Don't do that to the girls. Come on now.
You are don't right. Do that to the girls. You are right. That being said, child. Okay, let's be clear.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
But I do want to say that the costumes, like his costume is fucking gorgeous. Kwezi. I don't know if is Azania his mom? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think she's just a warrior lady. But
yeah, her costume is great. Fine. Like motherfucking is it Koi?
Koi? Is he the well are you mean the archer?
Yeah, the archer. Oh my god, he's so cool. And then we have like a Raiden-esque character. Like I'm not sure he has the hat, but I'm not sure if he has electric powers. It looked like he does.
That wouldn't surprise me. The colors pop. They really do.
Nigga, the colors are amazing.
I'm living for
like,
it.
It's giving what it's supposed to get. Like this is something I think I've asked for, and I will be watching because it looks amazing.
And the comics are out now. Just like they online somewhere. Just type in like Kwezi and like comic book and like where and you can get your hands on a copy. So like yeah, and you know make it. I'll probably buy it again and get a digital copy so I don't lose it. You know so. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited. And that animated, I was like, oh shit. Cause like, I've been watching, like, I remember buying that comic back in what, 2016 or 2017? Mm. I was like, yeah. I'm definitely, and like, just to show y'all how long it really does take to get an animated product off the ground. So keep supporting these black creators. Or like, yeah, you know, are we just gonna keep, like, stay complaining about these about getting like pushed to the side lines, even though we are getting a lot more representation when it comes to black heroes. Like some of them don't get the storylines that that they deserve. So yeah, let's do it. Let's support more. And we need to have Miss Stephanie Williams back on the show because the Queen Mother comic book writer. She wrote for Wonder Woman. She's like she's doing the new Nubia project. Like she's been promoting the hell out of it like for months and months. Like I'm really excited for her. So yeah, I might hit her up like this week to see if she can come through and bless us with another interview because she truly is the homie and like I want to be her when I grow up. Like no bullshit. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But yeah, that wraps it up for Nerdy Nuggets this week.
We got one more.
This nigga yes. guy. Talk your shit.
He is really, you know what?
Talk about your Disney Plus Charm spinoff.
You see,
I love you.
Let's talk about it. So a WandaVision spinoff. Starring Katherine Hahn, is in development at Disney Plus for Marvel Studios, according to Variety. Hahn will reprise the role of Agatha Harkness in the series, which is described by sources as a dark comedy, though exact plot details remain under wraps. WandaVision head writer Jack Schaefer would serve as the writer and executive producer on the project. Should the spinoff go forward, it would be the first project Schaefer has set up with Marvel since she signed an overall deal with them and 20th Television in May. As with all projects in development, Marvel Studios is staying mum on this one. Rest for Schaefer and Hahn did not immediately respond to Variety's request for comment. Now, here's the thing, right? We talked about WandaVision, how much I love it. Everybody who watches it, who listens to the show, knows I love witchy shit. If they're going to go through with this, introducing more magical people into the MCU, lovely. It's my shit. Uh-huh. It's what I go up for. I love it. Agatha was such an interesting character. Her magic is so interesting. Uh-huh. It's so cool. Her magic was really the type of magic she does, which is like very, very, it's heavily based on like rituals and like runes and shit. So dope. To introduce another magical character, you know, we have Wanda, we have Doctor Strange, we would have Agatha. You know, if we go forward with some shit I've been hearing, possibly with voodoo, that would be great. But yeah, this witch shit is my shit, as Lorenzo has said, and I'm excited. Like, I would love to see it. And Catherine Hahn is fucking hilarious. So to see her starring this in her own show is like, we could find out more about Agatha as a younger witch, I guess. I'm excited about it.
Witch bitch fucking up everything. It's been Agatha all along.
Yo, shout out to the nigga who did the bounce version of that shit.
The bounce version, the ballroom version.
Yes.
Brick it. Ow.
I love us for real. Yeah.
And with that ends our Nerdy Nuggets. I still know who you bred last summer. And it wasn't me. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got the reviews. We got Titans. And we got the What If. Keep it locked. We'll be back. All right, and we're back, and it is time for another DC Marvel TV show review for you. All right, we're going to jump right in to Titans. Season 3, Episode 11. The call is coming from inside the house. Dick accepts a challenge to face Jason in public. The confrontation sees Dick emerge victorious, but a crowd of bystanders attack him. Oh, yeah. If y'all don't know already, spoilers, we spoiling all this shit.
Hell yeah.
Jason retreats to Wayne Manor, where he discovers Crane has turned violent from a psychotic break. Instigated by information that Gar uncovered, Rachel finds the Lazarus Pit before her powers alert her of Dick being in danger. A reunited Donna and Tim learn that Crane is plotting to have corrupt officers assault Tim's city block, prompting Donna to lead the residents in fighting back. After being shot, Corey experiences a vision that reveals her parents had Blackfire's powers transferred into her. Corey emerges from the vision with a new ability to generate blue light. What did you like about the show, this episode?
First of all, I liked the backstory of Coriander. Like, I liked them going further into that. I was like, wait, so Mama was not born with the firepower? Like, not only was it giving me more on Coriander, it was giving me more on Commander. I was like, wait, like, so they've been really fucking with this girl from youth. Like, they've been putting her through the ringer. They've been, like, for real, giving her nothing, giving her, because she was second born. Like, they did this when Mama was a literal infant. I'm like, wow. They really didn't care about this girl, and I hate that for her. And she probably sensed it throughout her whole life. Two, I like the fact that, like, even though Coriander, like, her powers are gone, after that nigga shot her, like, her innate powers developed. Because I was like, wait. When he shot her, I was like, oh, my God, no, girl, no. And then she started glowing, and she shot out another beam of blue light. I was like, hold the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because last episode, I was worried that, you know, like, her powers are gone forever. I was like, wait,
I knew her powers were going to come back one way or the other. Either her and Blackfire were going to find a way to share the power. And the fact that, you know, like, oh, they're going to find out that, oh, Starfire power is infinite and it could be shared. Or, like, you know, because as a metaphor being like, why they got to fight over the throne for their legacy when both of them carry their family's legacy with them.
Yeah. And
so they should carry the burden of the Starfire.
But one thing I will say, though, the way that they portrayed Blackfire last episode, it didn't seem like she would be willing to share it. Like, the way they were, I was like, okay, so she got it, and she's keeping it.
Understandable from her point, it's understandable because it was her power that she was born with, and it was taken from her. So
yeah. The more we learn about it, we like, yo, this is, Blackfire is really not tripping for real. Mm-hmm. Like, these girls were gunning for her from birth, literally from birth. Mm-hmm.
More on the Coriander storyline. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that she got to help a black immigrant woman. Yeah,
like I love that
a black dark skinned black immigrant woman taking care of a child. The fact that she just happens to be like, she's from another planet, but she just happens to look like her.
Yep.
Was really really powerful.
Yeah.
That woman, she wasn't no punk. Like, she was holding her baby. She was like, just because I'm holding my baby does not mean I would not slap the taste out of your mouth. I was like, yes, mother.
Yes, yes. Bitch.
Like, my baby is sick and you complaining that, like, I can't afford, like, there, I'll whoop your ass. I am holding a baby in my arms. Like, there is, like, they done poisoned the water hole and y'all stressing over me. Goodbye. Right.
Like, stop.
I love the fact that we got to see Tamaran, and I had a thought in my mind that I was almost certain that Tamaran is an all black planet, and that flashback pretty much confirmed it.
Yeah, it did.
Everyone in the Royal Tamaran Army was black, like, but Mama black, Daddy black, and I don't even think I saw a light skinned person in
nope.
Yeah, no. Black.
That was crazy.
Like it was giving extraterrestrial Wakanda. My only complaint is that we didn't get to see more of it. I was hoping we would get. I was hoping that Coriander could like take a trip back to her home planet. We could get to at least see some sets from Tamaran.
Yeah,
that was my only complaint. I was like this is great. Like, I want to see more of it. Old Black Planet, sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me think.
I think for me that was pretty much the highlight of the episode.
Yeah. I like the way Raven's powers are being portrayed. It looks like the special effects is giving she has more of a control on her powers. I like the way it's like we're getting more purple accents in the black energy, which I think is really cool. The fact that she can just put her energy on like a symbol, and she knows like where it came from and all that stuff. I think that's pretty cool. But I think that's kind of where it stops for me.
Yeah. Once again, we got pretty much no Tim Drake. Like, they kind of put him in there and just was like, okay, he's here, so that's all we have to do. Like, they're not.
I'm glad that his parents are alive, though.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Because didn't his dad get shot or some shit?
I thought he did, but like it didn't look like he did. Like, am I tripping?
I'm almost certain they shot up the restaurant.
Yeah,
and one of them got hit.
That's what I thought.
I'm happy. You know, his dad is fine. Like, goddamn. Serve me anytime, daddy. The fact that it was interesting that we got a little taste into like I'm like, girl, why? We at least we got something. Like, why does he deserve to be Robin? He comes down and like you go into the basement and he's got like a whole like setup.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's got the detective part down, but like I was like, I would have also liked to see a punching bag. You know, maybe, yeah. Like one of those like hand to hand combat like poles with the wooden sticks. Like,
yep.
A Billy Blank CD somewhere, like something.
Like, the fact that he wants to be Robin, he's training to be Robin. Like, that would be great to see. But I guess, you know, it was starting at square one, so sure.
The fact that he has a black father and he was able to hide an entire basement of shit like, from him.
What?
That doesn't add up.
It don't make sense. But you know what? It's okay. Because I was like, you sure? Okay. If you say so.
you have a black parent and an Asian parent. They're the most nosiest parents ever. Like, how were you able to hide this from them?
You lucky you got doors on your bedroom. Let's be clear.
Lucky. That don't add up. Red Hood acting like a bitch once again.
Again.
Scarecrow grooming himself to TLC.
Nigga, that was such a weird opening. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
What would have made it better is like, if it had they juxtaposed him celebrating in Batman's house to people suffering on the streets.
Exactly.
Something he called. Like, now it's just some white dude dancing to TLC. Like, if we can actually like see more of the damage that he's caused to the people.
Exactly.
All we're getting a lot of telling, not seeing. It's like, oh wow, the people like poking their heads out the window, like, oh, looks really bad out there. And I'm like,
yep,
I don't see anything.
And also the juxtaposition would have been great because Scarecrow keeps on saying, oh yeah, I'm about the people. I'm just doing shit for the people. I'm doing shit for the people to be better. You know, for us to be great. And nigga, no, you're not. You're not. You want to become the new rich person in town. That's what you want. So please.
Yeah, like it. Give it a rest, please.
Nightwing getting shot.
That ain't make no goddamn sense.
I was like, what the fuck?
And like the fact that it was just very much out of nowhere. Like, had we seen more public support for Red Hood before this point, it would have made sense.
Yeah.
But out of nowhere, it's like, we support Red Hood. Red Hood. I was like, where? Like, I didn't see no tweets, no TikToks,
no posters,
no Instagram posts.
No, maybe people
taking off Nightwing costumes and putting on Red Hoods. Like, nothing.
Right. No subreddit, nothing.
Nothing.
We did nothing.
It was just out of nowhere. Nightwing beats his dude's ass, and then I was like, no, we support this. Mess.
It really was. And then, what's his name? Dick falling into the old Batman trick, the bitch ass trick that to, you know, because he blew fucking kryptonite dust into
you piece of shit.
Like, nigga, really? You really had to do that? Just to get your way?
Yeah.
I was so upset at that.
That, like, I didn't feel so bad when he got shot. I didn't do that shit.
You're not alone.
You have Superman Jr. on your team.
Right.
And you nerf him because you feel like you have to do this yourself.
Why do people do that? Why do people do that? It's my fight. Why do people do that?
The fact that you were upset that Batman didn't trust you enough to like tell you certain things, and like, you know, he's hiring y'all to do these jobs, but like he still feels like he needs to do stuff on his own, and so you're not learning at all from his mistakes.
Like, grow up, nigga.
You literally have a baby Superman on your team, and you damn near killed him just so you can handle things yourself.
And also the damn dog.
And like, the dog. That was dirty. That was so dirty.
Like, you are.
You poisoned a dog.
Like, come on, son.
You deserve to be shot.
For real.
I'm not sorry.
Trash behavior.
Trash.
Just so you could do a fight yourself. Like, for your machismo. Yeah. That's it.
Like, And like the dog would have even gone anywhere if Connor would have been, he probably would have just like whimpered around him like wake up, bro. Wake up, bro. Like he wasn't about to follow you into battle, especially not at, like, he's like a smart dog.
Right.
Like he's like, I'm surprised that little dog ain't bite his ass off. Like,
right.
You smoked my mans in front of me. Whew. I should rip your balls off. All right, but that's Titans.
When it came down to it, Coria and Starfire's storyline saved it.
If a Starfire storyline gets to shine in a very mid episode, I'm all for it.
Yep.
Moving right along to What If. The Watcher recruits Strange Supreme, Captain Carter, Star-Lord, T'Challa, Party Thor, the Black Panther Killmonger, or Golden Jaguar, as shown on the toy packages. A Gamora variant who killed Thanos, from their respective universes to battle Ultron. Ultron confronts them in a universe lacking intelligent life, where T'Challa steals the Soul Stone. Strange teleports in a zombie horde, including Wanda Maximoff, who Ultron overpowers. The team goes to Ultron's home universe, meeting Natasha Romanoff. Ultron follows, restarting the battle, where Gamora's Infinity Crusher device fails to destroy the Infinity Stones, as they are from a different universe. Carter helps Romanoff shoot Ultron with an arrow containing Artem Zola's mind. Zola wipes Ultron's mind and takes over Ultron's body. Killmonger steals the Infinity Stones for himself, and Zola fights him over them. Strange and the Watchers seal Killmonger and Zola in a pocket dimension, which Strange agrees to watch over. The Watcher returns Strange, Carter, T'Challa, Gamora, and Thor to their respective universes. Romanoff refuses to return to hers, so the Watcher brings her to one in which the Avengers candidates were assassinated. She helps defeat Loki. In a mid-credits scene, Carter and her universe's Romanoff discover the Hydra Stomper armor with someone inside. This was a solid finale to this series. You really liked it.
It was so good. Like, from beginning to end. Like, first of all, the last episode we talked about, like, it was such a great lead into this episode. Like, the Watcher, you know,
Did you say lead-in? No, it was a great leave-in, because like this episode had bundles. Like,
it did. It was moisturized, like
stiff wear. Okay.
Like, it was so good. Like, it was giving, you know, intergalactic Avengers. You know, it was so cool.
That was a way sexier, way more diverse team than the original Avengers.
Hello.
Like two women and two Negroes on the same superhero team.
Are we allowed?
Three. Well, two white women, one intergalactic woman of color, two Negro men on the same team. Like, is that even allowed?
It's a new day. It's a new dawn.
It's a new day. It's a new life.
It was so cool. I loved how they worked together. The fight scene, nigga. The fight scene was perfection to me.
When they was whooping on.
Oh yeah, Ultron, I tweeted a video of that Ultron fight with the audio of that nigga getting beat up.
Fight back, nigga! I didn't even press play, and I knew exactly what it was.
Nigga, when I saw that scene, that's all I thought
fight
about.
Back,
like
nigga.
They
fight back. Fight
were
back,
beating
nigga.
His ass. Oh my god! And then
pants falling off everything.
Right. And then when Natasha, you know, came to Peggy and she had that whole talk, I was like, "Yo, girl, what you about to do, nigga?" I'm not even lying to you. When they did what they did, I screamed. I was like, "Oh, nigga, that was such a perfect example of teamwork. Like, it happened. Whew. That shit was sexy as hell. Let me tell you, Peggy and Natasha, what a motherfucking combo. Yeah, they did what needed to be done.
everyone had a role to play, even Arnim Zola at the very, very end with the virus. Mm-hmm. You know, very, very much, he came through very much like, let me get it. Wait, let me think. Oh, I guess it's my turn. Did the little virus thing, thingamajigger, and was like, hey, girl, I'm in here. Yo. And I love the look, because, like, you knew that Killmonger, like, was just waiting for his
moment. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To, like, to do some extra shit. Like, oh, this shit ain't over. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Though, I it was very interesting, you know, the whole, like, pocket dimension thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, word. Yeah.
They went very strong on the Doctor Strange, just stronger than Wanda propaganda, which, you know, blasphemy. I get it. Since y'all just trying to make him Sorcerer Supreme and he's the strongest of blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, it was still a cute episode. Doctor Strange really came through. He was holding Ultron back. Like, oh my God, it was, the fight was just so good. Everything was perfect.
We should make free Killmonger shirts. with the pocket dimension.
Could you imagine?
Could you?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Free my nigga out the pocket dimension.
Right.
So many of my cousins trapped in the pocket dimension system, bro.
And oh,
hate
also,
to see another one go, bro.
Right. It was so good to hear Chadwick Boseman's voice again. It was so good to hear. It's always so good. And I'm so glad we were able to hear it again.
What are you doing, cousin? It's like, nigga, ain't your cousin? I was like, oh.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sure. Okay, sure.
Oh, I did. I was kind of annoyed that Shuri didn't get her, like, her justice.
Yeah.
They just kind
of, because Mama came in blasted. Yeah, she was like, ready.
Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that Killmonger was dealt with, but I mm-hmm. wanted it to be Shuri.
Yeah.
To be the one to deal the final blow.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the way they set it up.
Mm-hmm.
The way they set it up, you know, I think because Shuri was the one that found out that he was a traitor, they were gonna set up to make Shuri the new Black Panther, and the way things are looking in the sequel, unfortunately, not for the actor, not the
character.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, Shuri's being shaped up to be the next Black Panther. But there is going to be a season 2 of this, so I'm pretty sure that's mm-hmm. what they're leaning towards. But part of me is glad, because, you know, had they have had to fight Killmonger, he probably would have killed a bunch of Dora Milaje warriors before they you know, were able to subdue him. So they're like, oh yeah, like the Watcher just snatched him out of the sky, and our young Shuri showed us the evidence of his betrayal, so we felt it was only necessary to make her the new queen of Wakanda. So.
Nigga, I want to talk real quick about when the Watcher went to get Thor, and Thor wasn't paying attention, and he picked Thor up, and Thor started screaming. That shit was hilarious.
No, it'd be like when you in preschool. And like you playing Legos and like big blocks with your niggas, and your mom calling your name, and you don't hear her. Like, she call your name like 8 times, you don't hear. And then all of a sudden you just feel somebody pick your ass up, be like, hey, bro, yo, chill, bro, hey, what's going on?
That's
exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
Act up, you can get snatched up.
Hello. Oh God!
But yeah, that was a solid episode, and I'm excited for next season.
Yeah,
Really cool. Like, Marvel What If, like, animated, and then we're leading in right into the DC animated universe with Young Justice in a few weeks. So yeah, the girls are eating this fall. I appreciate it. Yeah, those are the recaps. The recaps for this week. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. All right, girls, and we are back. We are back. We are back. Girls and gays and girls, thems, gender non-conforming individuals. It's raining thems. Hallelujah. It's raining thems. Hey, thems. All right. Now it is time for the sample platter. Dre and I each picked three live performances to share with y'all. Dre, would you like to go first?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
So my first song that I'm playing is a song that I put so many people onto. Whenever I talk about this person, I'm like, okay, if you want to be introduced to her, this is what you need to listen to first, and then I'll go. Then we'll go down the rabbit hole.
Anyway, who are you talking about?
Yeah. So keep the going. First song I'm gonna introduce is by a mighty young lady named Yeba.
Yeba.
And the song is called "In My Mind."
You say you love me, but I know it's a lie. When I work so hard to keep you satisfied.
Listen, when Mama decided that she was going to run all up and down this song, people don't know, but I'm bald because of Yeba. It's not because of genetics. It's because of Yeba.
No. See what happened? Like, no. I keep telling y'all, Dre keeps lying to y'all. He has hair on top of his head. Like, what you see is a bald cap. And when Yeba sings, the bald cap just flies off. And, yeah. And his Cornell West fro just comes flying out.
It does.
That's what Yeba does to the girl.
Yeah. But all I have to say about the video, if you ever watched the video of her performing, the girls in the audience weren't hype enough for me. And I'll leave it at that because I'm still upset about that. Do y'all know what y'all were witnessing? Anyway.
Love it. And my first one, I'm just going to kick y'all off with this just like emotion and power, you know, since we matching blow for blow. And that would have to be my favorite, one of my favorite live performances. It's Miss Mary J. Blige. No more drama.
Mm.
Y'all know the one. Right?
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is Super Saiyan Mary. this is Ultra Instinct Mary. This is Nine Tail Fox Mary. This is Bankai Mary.
Oh god. Like, Mary is a power. Mary
no
is
more drama. In case you didn't know, she is tired of all the drama.
Tired. You know what I love about Mary? After every ancient nigga she gets out of her life, she ends up looking better. And I love that for her.
Yeah.
Love that for her.
Yeah. Her blonde wig gets like more shiny. It just like...
No, hello. What are you talking about wig? That is Mary's hair straight from the sky. We've established that Mary is a natural born blonde. Okay?
You're right. My apologies.
We've established that. It's okay.
My apologies. Next.
Yes. Yeah, so my second song is by a lovely young lady who has been getting her due as of late. It should have been for a while, but I'm glad it's now. The song I'm going to sing, the song I'm going to introduce is the song I'm going to introduce is from her Tiny Desk that happened recently. It's Jasmine Sullivan, and she is performing Bodies. I don't know what it is about it, but me and the girls who run, here's the thing. Runs are great. It's great to do it at a specific time. When you're doing it all up and down the song, just don't know where to put it. You just put it anywhere. Nah. Jasmine knows. She puts it exactly where it belongs, okay? Bodies and bodies. Look. All I have to say
is when you playing Guitar Hero and like you gotta hold a note and like you do like the shake stick thing to like make it vibrate. You just like y'all just like you know just breaking that shit in half. Like yo, calm down.
Jasmine's vibrato is godly and heavenly, and I'm so grateful I get to witness it in my lifetime.
Love it.
Beautiful.
All right, so. My next selection is from lovely artist by the name Miguel. Lizzo said it well. Black people made rock and roll. And this one, good God. Miguel performed How Many Drinks on SNL, and like a rock version, and blew my fucking mind. You came to party in a Saturday night. How many drinks would it take you to leave me? He was like jumping up and down. No. Hey, Justin, if you don't decide that you might be fucking tonight, I'm like, oh, like going James Brown on a like just like, and then hit the note, just like, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. What Twink say in Q-Force? Like, bitch, yes, I am a vocalist.
That's one thing about Miguel. He will put his entire being in his performances, always.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, the whole can of pomade. You know that nigga still uses, like, pomade from the 50s.
He's still got his grandfather's can of Murray's.
That quaff. Don't scoff. Okay. What you got next?
Yes, so my last song, I would be remiss if I did not do this song. The song I'm going to play, it's going to speak for itself. It is Beyonce, and she is covering Kings of Leon. Beyonce. She is covering Kings of Leon. And the song is Sex on Fire.
Just for tonight, you're still the greatest. Ooh, you're still the greatest.
Let me tell you something. If you can cover someone's song and they turn around and say, wow, out of their own mouths, she did it better, you won. Kings of Leon, the front person said, yeah, that she, the way she covered it,
actually,
yeah.
Yeah, like, actually, fuck my drag. Like, actually, fuck my drag. You did that.
Yo, mama sang the house down, boots, child, boots. Yes, honey, God.
Boots, sugar, honey, high tea. Boots, sugar, honey, high C.
And she felt every note. You could tell she felt every word. Ugh, she was touching on herself. Oh my, she was pregnant at the time when she was performing this. It was, what a fucking performance. I just gotta say, God, there are certain performers you just will, you're lucky to see once a lifetime. She's one. The girls just, we're blessed.
Mm. And lastly, my last performance that I shall be choosing is from the new girl, Doja Cat. You know, like, her Say So song is, like, ubiquitous. And, you know, like, it's always, like, you know, she's had to perform it all over the world 80 million times. And, like, it's even come to a point where, like, people have, like, recorded her being fed up with the goddamn dance, the song and dance. Just, like, good God. Like, I want the greatness. I want this, but I cannot stand this song. And I can understand that. So, when she got a chance to do a death metal version of it for the European Music Awards last year, girl, oh my God. Like, she was giving, like, Daughter of Hayley Williams,
mm-hmm.
like, it, tease, like, Jesus Christ. Shut it, save it, keep it, pushing while you beating around the bush. You know when you want all this woman. Yeah, yeah, all of them bitches hating, I have you with me. All of them saying you mad committed. Put it to anybody you had to quit it. I got a body, I need that ass and titties. The whole when she dressed up as the girl from The Ring and she crawled up out the fucking TV. No. So see, light skins, this is the type of effort we need to see from all of y'all when it comes to performance.
Yes. Because Doja
sitting on the couch watching TV. We need y'all to come up out the TV and see, give us vocals, bitch.
She ain't resting on the light-skinnedness.
Absolutely not. You know what she said? I don't play with my pen. I mean what I write.
Wow.
Good God. Flames. I'm right. And I think that's about it for the sample platter. You look for these performances on the youths. The tubes of you. The tubes of you. The YouTubes. And we're going to take one more break. And we will be right back. All right, and we're back with the final segment. It's time to scrape the plate, y'all. God, I am so sick and tired of talking about this dude, but here we go. So, this nigga Dave Chappelle got another fucking special on Netflix. And according to Yahoo News, Chappelle had become known for his satire on race in America. He did short, eclectic sketches featuring black men from the 1970s, time traveling to beat up slave masters, racist police, and Chappelle in whiteface. Meanwhile, his observational stand-up often poked fun at celebrity and the inner workings of the industry, asking, for example, why in times of national crisis, U.S. TV stations would get celebrities like Ja Rule on the phone. It was an edgy comedy that aimed to make social commentary and very popular. But in the blink of an eye, that was all over. After disappearing from the public spotlight for a year, Chappelle explained to Oprah, I was doing sketches that were funny, but were socially irresponsible. So, why in 2021 is the comic now targeting queer and trans people? Chappelle's show, slow and uneasy comeback, began in 2016, when against all odds, he topped his 05 Comedy Central offer with a minimum $60 million Netflix deal. The promise was that he would get at least three $20 million specials, a number of which already saw backlash from audiences due to jokes about the hashtag MeToo movement and the trans community. A new special titled The Closer dropped on the streaming platform on Tuesday, and it appears Chappelle has doubled down. By the show's 10th minute, Chappelle gives his musings at length on his gripes with gay people and women, detailing a physical fight he had with a lesbian whom he continually misgenders, referring to her as a man throughout his retelling. He tells us about another argument he had with a woman who recognized him in public and jokes about how he felt like killing her and throwing her in the trunk of his car. He explains that until recently, he didn't know what the textbook definition of a feminist was. He uses a slur against lesbians. He jokes about sexual assault. And finally, he ironically ponders why people get the impression that he hates women. Then comes his specific attacks on trans women. Chappelle oscillates between decrying North Carolina's bathroom bill, which until recently forced trans people to use bathrooms that corresponded to the gender on their birth certificates, and calling himself transphobic comedian Dave Chappelle. He makes dehumanizing jokes about genitalia. He misgenders the late comedian Daphne Dorman as he discusses her death by suicide. He tells an anecdote of an argument with yet another woman. Is Chappelle's entire offstage life just him getting confronted by people he's vilified? Whoever wrote this, you better go off. Who was rightfully hurt by some of his transphobic jokes. But to Chappelle, the trans struggle and the black struggle are at odds, and he dismisses her using this logic. His attack, which goes on for the entire second half of Chappelle's set, culminates in the announcement, I am Team TERF, which stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists. Although the closure's bigotry has made headlines, it feels like we all should have seen this coming. Chappelle opened his 2017 special, The Age of Spin, with what seems to be his current guiding principle, saying, sometimes the funniest thing to say is mean. In the rest of that special, he belittles the trauma of the women, sexually violated by fellow comedian Louis C.K., and makes jokes about survivors of R. Kelly's abuse. These jokes were obviously not funny, but mean wasn't necessarily the right word either. They were, as Chappelle had previously feared, socially irresponsible. And this was written by Micah Fraser Carroll. You better go off. So. I'm going to restate, basically, what we've been saying about this. So, the jokes he was making about white men, cishet white men, you know, were socially irresponsible. But the trans people, the trans jokes, the gay jokes, they're fine. They're okay. Oh, right. Because it's cishet white men that are writing your checks. That's what's different. Okay. All right. You know, it's cishet white men who are paying you to go on SNL and say, you know, I'll give Trump a chance. Like right after he won. Okay. See, jokes. Like, see, it was what he was doing in the past was funny because, like, when it comes to marginalized people, it's funny when you punch up at power. It's mean when you punch down on people that you hold privilege over. That's why when female comedians make jokes about how men ain't shit, it's funny. When black people, when niggas in general make jokes about how white people ain't shit, it's funny. When poor people make jokes about how rich people ain't shit, it's funny. Cause, you know, like that's how the shit works. Like if you haven't noticed yet. Like, ain't no oh my god, like, we're so offended. I'm like, no, it's just like, first of all, the shit just isn't funny, and two, like, what the fuck? Like, you already hold privilege against somebody in life, and you telling this joke, and the fact that you have a large platform, it gives people who respect you the license to, you know, just regurgitate the shitty information. And people say, like, oh my god, he had some good points in there. But niggas don't read. Just, like, in general. Motherfuckers don't read. They'll go to a comedy club and, you know, get their sociology homework lessons from them. And then, you know, they're in mixed company. And all of a sudden, they want to make a big point. They'll pull Dave Chappelle's comedy special out their ass. And could sit and... based on, depending on the group that they're in, they'll either be praised or straight up dragged. Because Dave Chappelle will never, ever, ever get it. You know why? Because it is cishet white men that write his checks. This man fucking sold out. You can be funny without punching down at people who you hold power over. Y'all don't understand that. Y'all really don't understand that. Trans people are dying every fucking day. They're getting killed. Black trans women out here getting killed by cishet men because they are too fucking weak to deal with their own personal shit, their own personal emotions. So they're taking it out on these women. Because they're afraid to be openly attracted to them, so that means they have to eliminate them. Okay, like it is like black trans women are still the most vulnerable people on this earth, and you cracking jokes is not helping their situation in the fucking least, in the goddamn fucking least. All the dumbass shit your cishet male friends say, you can't crack jokes about them. Like you had to turn around and shit on people who don't have the social power to go against you. You can't attack the people across from you. You got to punch down. That's bitch made. You're really a bitch for that. Like, that's some bitch shit. Like, that really is some bitch shit. You had to pick on somebody you know you have power over, instead of coming at niggas like you. You got to come at niggas like oh, because you're afraid you might get your ass whooped if you say the wrong thing. Oh, but you'll say it about a woman. You'll say it about a trans woman. You'll say it about cis women. You'll say it about gays because you think you won't get your ass whooped. You too bitch made to unpack your shit. Because if you start talking about the shortcomings that black men have, black straight men have, you got to look yourself in the mirror. And I don't think you've ever truly done that. Taking a fucking trip to Africa, you come back and you're even more ignorant. Get the fuck out of my face, bitch. A white man wrote half your show. We ain't no fucking black excellence. Only reason you got those millions, white men, said it's okay for you to write jokes shitting on trans people. We ain't a fucking hero. You're a fucking sellout. All of us used to laugh at your shit. All of us. But out of nowhere, you taking this conservative route because you know they some like the conservative people, they got money. The most transphobic people out here, they got money. So fuck you. Like, fuck you. Fuck whoever thinks this motherfucker is funny. Like actually fuck you. Fuck you. Like, fuck your entire bloodline. Like, fuck who raised you. Because they ain't shit either. And do something else. Like, actually write some jokes that are fucking funny. I'm use your fucking lingo. Grow some fucking balls and go at some people who look like y'all. Like, go talk to your brothers about why, you know, they ain't never been to therapy, but they dying of fucking heart attacks at 43. They calling gay boys sweet, but they dying of diabetes at 45. Why the fuck you ain't talking about that? And if you're not willing to open up a fucking book to learn about trans issues, to learn about queer issues, then get the fuck out of my face. You a stupid ass hoe. Like, oh my God, he's got some good points about, you know, like the intersection of blackness and queerness. Nigga, queer and black trans people have been saying this shit for decades. And instead of taking them seriously, y'all want to turn around and listen to this fucking clown talk about this shit for years. And a goddamn TED Talk. It's a fucking comedy special. Fuck Dave Chappelle. Fuck his supporters. I'll fuck. Woo. Let me calm down. Dre, anything? My apologies. I didn't leave anything
no.
left.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's the thing about Dave Chappelle that always comes down to is, like, his fans specifically, they always say that, oh, yeah, it was, his intent was this, his intent was that. And if you listen until the end, you'll be able to hear his, you know, what his point was. My whole thing is, so but what you're saying is you need to sit through the abuse for an hour just to get to the end. And that is, like, such a great simile to, like, how people expect queer and trans people to navigate this world is, like, deal with the abuse over and over for the longest, because it means after a while you'll get to the end where they kind of maybe sort of see a little bit of what you're talking about. And it gets really, really annoying hearing that. And, like, at a certain point, it's just like, y'all are just ridiculous. Like, this is ridiculous. So one thing that Dave Chappelle said, like, you know, he was, like, talking about cancel culture too. He was like, if this is what being canceled is like, I love it. Like, niggas are openly admitting that being canceled isn't real. It's really a marketing strategy so that they can have
people, he's complaining about being canceled for speaking his mind. This man has made tens of millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Shitting on the most vulnerable people in the world.
Exactly. So when it comes down to it, he's saying, oh, if this is what being canceled is like, I love it. This nigga knows that cancel culture doesn't really do anything for marginalized groups. It just makes people who are shitting on marginalized groups richer. Because, like, people who are marginalized keep on saying cancel culture isn't real. Because it's true. You niggas are still allowed to be awful people in public while the marginalized are still killed and still made fun of and all these things. And y'all niggas are just sitting up there complaining about something that doesn't really exist. You niggas are ridiculous. So this whole complaining about cancel culture, this nigga being transphobic and homophobic, and people out there acting like, oh my God, like y'all are Dave's the victim. This nigga is complaining about being canceled while he's being paid millions of dollars to do a special while he's on the stage drinking and smoking cigarettes. This nigga's fine. And he admitted it to y'all out his mouth, and y'all still defending him.
Talk about straight nigga problems. Talk about why y'all don't like wiping your asses.
Yes. Leave us straight the fuck men alone.
Are the most fucking sensitive ass niggas in the world.
They are.
In the fucking world. You say something, you say one bad thing about them, and they're ready to beat your ass. Red. You beat me to death, fine. But you're also the person who got bent out of shape because of one tiny little comment. That's you. That's on you. Meanwhile, me and the girls have been enduring all these comments for our entire lives, and we're more emotionally intelligent because of it. Because we've been able to unpack our trauma, well, unpack a large portion of it, and become stronger because of it. So fuck you, like, literally fuck all of y'all.
I'm not sitting through a bunch of abuse to get to the end where you kind of, sort of, maybe see a tad of my humanity. Fuck you.
It's motherfuckers who actually went to school, read, who have pages and pages of shit, you know, minus the degrading language, who've been talking about this for decades. I would much rather go learn from them than a washed up comedian who's very much selling out to these fucking white people. Y'all want
to
be fucking.
And when it comes down to it, like, people are so nostalgic about their comedians.
So nostalgic.
Shit that
so
they found funny.
Nostalgic.
Years ago, they will not let go of Dave Chappelle because they feel like if they let go of Dave Chappelle,
Dave
that means they're letting go
of
part of their childhood or their history. This nigga's not even funny anymore. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell y'all, nigga. The nigga's not funny. Boo-hoo, cry about
it. If you're defending Dave Chappelle on the internet for free, you most likely peaked in high school.
You absolutely did.
So,
I guarantee that.
And with that, that wraps up Big Boy Brunch for this week. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We love y'all. We fucking love y'all. Hey, yo, shout out to my internet family. Like, I was having a real fucking crisis, and y'all came through. Like, you have no idea how much this means. Like, I really do appreciate every single last one of you, even if it was just a retweet. Like, thank you. Like, thank you. I cannot thank y'all enough. Thank you so very much. Yeah. Still working on getting y'all guests. I promise y'all gonna have some more guests before the year is up. I promise y'all. But Dre, where can they find y'all?
Yes, I am on Twitter at Exhibit Dre, and I am on Instagram at Exhibit_Dre.
And you can find me acting a wild ass nigger ass donkey on Twitter and Instagram at LoloVonZ. That is LoloVonZ. Thank you so much for listening to Big Boy Brunch. Subscribe, leave a review, come through, get you a plate. And with that, check please.